Blog Talk Radio.
We've got to have personal responsibility, political accountability, and corporate culpability.
Get up, get up.
Eliminate poverty. I don't care what color the person, a child.
Get up, get up, get up.
Why does a pessimist see a glass half empty, but an optimist see a glass half full? Are we locked into regressive mentality by chains unseen? If you try to fail and then succeed, which have you done? Do you ask enough questions or do you settle for what you know? The only questions that really matter are the ones you ask yourself. Welcome to Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think.
Welcome to Mental Dialogue. It's your host, Black Socrates. And to all my truth seekers out there, we put together this special edition of the Mental Dialogue talk show because we're going to do something that's never been done on air before. We're going to do a real live interview. Not that you've heard of interviews, but this is actually a job interview for a potential to be the co-host, the new co-host to the Mental Dialogue talk show, as we are relaunching on April 18th live in Executive Cuts Barbershop here in Marietta, Georgia, on Blog Talk Radio. So we're going to go to where the people are at and get our show started. And I have a new potential co-host by the name of Christy Gaynell, and I wanted to bring her on and put her to the test to see if she's going to be able to handle and get into the barbershop live with the people and talk about things that are near and dear to the African-American community. Christy, are you out there?
I'm here. How are you?
Hey, doing very well. Yes, this is our new potential co-host, Christy Gaynell. And from what I understand, you are a stand-up comedian. Is that correct, Christy?
That is correct. I've been doing stand-up for 7 years now.
Okay, well, I told you we're going to be live on the air, but I don't think you knew that you were particularly going through this is a job interview for you. So I want to see if you can stand up to it. But before we get into the interview, I was very interested in you have a book with a very interesting title. So if you would, go ahead and tell the Mental Dialogue community the title of your book.
Yep. My book is titled Condoms Are Cheaper Than Child Support.
That's actually very true, and you actually decided to name a book that, huh, Christy?
I did, and I named it that kind of as a metaphor for some of the obvious truths we overlook when making our choices and trying to figure out why our life isn't turning out the way we wanted it to.
Hey, very, very interesting. And see, when you speak of truth, see, I call it out of my Mental Dialogue listeners. I call them all truth seekers, and so we are definitely a show in which we seek out truths that are outside of what you see in everyday media, who quite often they have an agenda. And here at Mental Dialogue, we don't necessarily try to lead with an agenda, but we do welcome all opinions. So I think that's very interesting and actually has a lot of potential. So, for example, share with me a truth out of the book as you see it from your book. Again, name of the book is Condoms Are Cheaper Than Child Support. Do I have that right?
Yes, that's correct. It's Condoms Are Cheaper Than Child Support and Other Obvious Truths We Overlook When Creating Our Reality. But I mostly just refer to it as Condoms Are Cheaper Than Child Support because that in itself is a mouthful.
Absolutely. So, like, if you would, if you don't mind, I give the listeners a potential truth that you share in the book real quick, if we might.
One of the truths I have is obvious truths about work. Chapter 20, follow your inspiration, not your education. So a lot of times we pursue various things in school. We look at different avenues of education, and we find at the end of our education, we don't feel inspired or driven or even have a desire to do what we learned about or what we were taught in school. And so we end up hating our jobs or our lives and not wanting to be where we're at. And I feel like if you follow your inspiration, which comes from spirit, comes from inside of you and leads you to where you're supposed to be, where you're going to be the most happy, and that's what your outcome will be. You'll enjoy your life a lot more, and you'll be more successful.
Hey, you definitely said a mouthful there. And I think people quite often are torn between, in a sense, what they've, to a certain extent, quite often have been told all their lives, here's a path that you should take, versus, like you said, what's in someone's heart or with their, you know, with it or in their desires to do. So definitely, you definitely speak to a truth that I think a lot of people experience. And truth be told, very few people, generally speaking, actually have the withdrawal or have what it takes. Well, we all have what it takes. Most of us won't make the decision typically out of fear to do, you know, that which is in our heart. A lot of times, like you said, we, for the education purposes or whatever, we allow. I just heard somebody recently do this at my job. Basically, for example, may look at income potential to decide what their job for the rest of their lives will be, and don't realize that, unfortunately, that to a certain extent, that paycheck alone is not fulfilling to what's in their spirit. And I like yourself, do believe that in a sense, following your heart and doing what you love, the money will come. And that's not to be dismissive of money, because at Mental Dialogue, one of the things that is very important, whereas our mission is to raise awareness and reignite the commitment to excellence in the Black conscious, we definitely want to raise the economic empowerment in our community. So we are a fan of money, but I do agree with you. We're fans in the sense of doing what you are, really in a sense, find what you are put here for, and let that lead you to a level of abundance. So definitely a great point from your book. Would you like to share maybe one other point?
Well, that,
go ahead, now, please.
I wanted to comment on what you said with regard to the money and the choosing a path that will lead to money versus choosing the inspiration. What a lot of people don't seem to understand about money is that money is just a form of energy. And the more energy you put into your work, the more money you will get out of it. So if you're doing something you don't like, you don't have the energy to put into it, no matter what the earning potential is, you're not going to maximize that earning potential because you're not giving it the love energy it needs to bring back the money energy to you. But if you're doing the thing that you're inspired to do and you're doing the thing that you love and you put that love energy into the activity, into the job, then the money is going to flow back to you.
I love it, Christy. It's an excellent perspective. And when you speak to love, which is the greatest emotion that we have as humans to offer one another, and you're absolutely right when you get that opportunity to actually match up what you are, in a sense, doing to a certain extent for a living, but you know, you always hear the saying that if you do what you love, and you know, and the work that you have, if it's something that you love doing, then it's never a day of work. And so when you speak to that love, and I'm glad that you brought that up, it's just at the end of the day, it is one of the end all be all for everything. And when you, like as you said, put that love energy, I like how you put that into that in which you are put here to do and serve the world with what you are here to do, that love is spread and just brings amount and then abundance that to a certain extent you can't put a number on. And so once again, love's perspective, you definitely are sizing up to be exactly what I need in a co-host, because truth be told, I did not want to carry on the show with just my perspective. I mean, I am very fortunate that I do have, from having done the show a couple years ago, still have, in a sense, some followers who will bring a wealth of knowledge and opinions to the show, because the thing that we try to maximize with Mental Dialogue is being a gumbo of opinions. We're not left to right. We shoot straight, and we stand by our opinions, but we try to do it with a level of critical thought, and I think that's something that is actually missing, dearly missing from the media today, and we try to serve as their role for those who are tired of watching the bad news. And not that we're going to be your daily news and necessarily talk about the things that are, we definitely talk current events, but that's not what we're always doing. Sometimes we try to go off the beaten path just to be refreshing and press upon ideas that we're not hearing enough of. So I definitely love your perspective from the book alone and definitely appreciate what you look to bring to the table. So definitely appreciate that. Anything else that you would like to share with the audience?
Yes, thank you for that beautiful compliment. I was inspired and interested in doing your show when I saw that you named it, your main focus was making people think, because for me, that is one of the things that people just don't seem to do enough of. I'm so over this mindless numbing of our brains and our emotions with our TV watching and the food that we eat. It's like nobody ever steps outside of reality television to actually view reality and think for themselves. One of the obvious truths, my book is actually broken up into four parts. It's obvious truths about life, obvious truths about relationships, about parenting, and about work. And one of the ones I have about life is that no one can make you happy if you're not. I find a lot of times within relationships we're looking for someone who's going to make us happy, someone who's going to add this thing of joy or whatever to our life. But if you don't have that within yourself, no one can give you that. You're going to either be miserable with the person you're with, if you're miserable, or you're going to be happy you are, but they can't change what you are.
Wow, Chrissy, hey man, this is going to be an action-packed 30 minutes. I called it the interview with the new potential co-host. I believe I could take potential out at this point. And I love the area that you're going in, and a lot of things that you're touching on are all potential topics for mental dialogue. As I said, we definitely want to raise awareness and reignite the commitment to excellence in the Black conscious. But I do believe that even the thing that you just spoke about, we do some in-depth relationship talk. For example, in the past, we did a three-part series on is Black marriage in the state of emergency. I want to bring that series back in the future, and I think you touched on the absolute bottom line to a relationship, which is two whole people coming together, and that is something that can be quite difficult in the sense of, as you alluded to earlier, a lot of the mindless programming from TV and television or as you mentioned, reality, which I call unreality TV, but a lot of that mindless people no longer critical thinking and things of that nature, what gets lost in being programmed and not thinking for yourself is the concept of even look to see who you are and find yourself. And is that look within and finding who you are and mastering of self. That
right.
Gives you the opportunity to know who you are. And once you understand yourself, then you in a sense become that whole person that is now ready for another. But unfortunately, instead of society moving away from that and that type of thing, or unfortunately, even in some communities, for example, poor communities where survival is still an issue, you have unfortunately a lot of children who come up broken, and so you can't even blame people or adults who have never been taught the things that we're speaking of. In a sense, they seek that companionship or that relationship almost as a broken person, looking like, as you said, looking to someone else to bring in that happiness, not knowing they, as you said, have to find it inside. But those are definitely potential topics that need to be discussed. One of my soapbox issues is Black marriage before children, and a lot of times I get beat up for, I use that as a hashtag quite often, and I get beat up for using that because unfortunately, specifically in the African American community, it is actually abnormal to be born to two parents, and so I think I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
I was going to say that's true, and one of the things people also don't realize when they enter into relationships is the difference that the way you were raised has on how you view relationships overall. People don't seem to understand that there is a fundamental difference in the mentality of a person raised by a single mother and a person raised by two parents, also versus a person raised by a single father, and those different from opposite
perspectives together lead to a great deal of conflict, because you'll find that a person raised by a single mother, if it's a woman, has a stronger sense of self and doesn't really necessarily feel like she needs a man. She doesn't need, you know, she wants to do everything, whereas men need to be needed. And a man who was raised in a two-parent household and saw his father as the provider, saw his father take care of the family, he's going to want to take on that role. But if he's with a woman raised by a single mother, they're going to butt heads because she doesn't know how to step back and let the man lead, because she saw her mother leading and her mother doing everything, and her first instinct is to say, I don't need you. I can do it on my own. You know what I mean? So it causes so much conflict in relationships, and people don't ever look at the source of the conflict. They just get caught up in the drama of the conflict, and then that leads to resentment, anger, frustration, and eventually divorce.
Chrissy, if I didn't say I was taking out the potential co-host part, I do need to know you may have moved into my position at this point. So this is going to be the Mental Dialogue show by Chrissy Gaynell, and her co-host is Black Socrates, because you just spoke music to my ears, girl, because in 2015, and I don't want to place blame when I say what I'm about to say, because I'm not placing blame, because it is part of that unfortunate cycle of not having two-parent homes, and as you said, not even done intentionally, but that is the dynamic that, and you spoke to it perfectly, the dynamic that plays out. And so you have a situation where, you know, I know a lot of brothers who struggle with, we're looking for strong sisters. And a lot of times strong sisters say, well, you know, brothers don't want strong sisters. We absolutely want strong sisters. But unfortunately, most of us have been brought up in, as we just talked about, have been brought up in singles, especially I'm 41. And so our generation, I call us the first fatherless generation, meaning that we were starting to have more of us were born without fathers than were. And so we were that start of that generation to a sense, anybody my age and younger, and even more so now. And so that unfortunately has created that vacuum where, as you said, hardly any of us have seen that dynamic of the mother and father, you know, that woman and man energy being put together and used, and you know, that yin and yang being put together and being able to pull from both energies to understand naturally how to move within a relationship. Now we have to figure it out because we don't see it within our homes. And so for you as a sister to point out, like, I mean, I hate when we teach, I wrote a piece that says, do not teach our young girls to not need a man. Now, you know, that's the worst thing I think that you can teach a woman, because what I always say is the reality is within a relationship between a man and a woman, there are certain things that you have as a woman that I don't have. There are certain things that I have as a man that you don't have. That alone makes for the relationship, when we both understand that we both need each other, because you have things that I don't have. So if you have things that I don't have, well, on my own, I can't have those things, and vice versa for the woman. So the worst thing that we could teach a man or, you know, a young boy or a girl is that they don't need the other. And it's not that, you know, and the way that it actually plays out in today's time is, as you said, our young girls are often taught to be independent, and also including don't need a man, whereas what happens to our young boys, we're not necessarily telling boys we don't need a girl, but what happens is they're hearing a message every day to where, you know, let's be honest about this, you know, whether it's in hip-hop or in movies, but for the most part, entertainment and the message that our young boys get is one in which they don't care for women. They don't like women in general. Yes, we seek women for, you know, naturally we see women, but, you know, when you have statements like, you know, bros before hoes, you know, excuse the language, but that's the reality, and everything, you know, money over women, these type of statements being made, well, men are getting a message that loses sight of how much we need you as as women, as the mothers of the earth, you know, literally the gift that you are to us, we lose sight of that when we don't hold you in reverence and respect you in the way that we should, because you have, we seek it without knowing it, the very thing that we don't have on our own.
Hello?
I'm sorry, Chris, I think I lost you for a second. Were you able to hear everything I said? Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I think I lost you for a second. I got you back now. Go ahead.
Okay, I was saying that that's true, and another aspect of that is when you have men who are raised by single women, they also get confused as to their role and the role of women, because they're used to seeing a woman take care of the household and everything, go to work and, you know, come home and cook. And they are used to, you know, that level of output from a woman. So now when they're dating women, they've gotten so used to depending on a woman for all their needs to be met that they're comfortable depending on a woman. And then you have these situations where you've got now the whole roles reversed, where women feel like they need to be the provider because their mother was the provider, and I don't need to depend on no man, I don't want no man, you know, telling me what I can and can't do, this and that attitude. And then you have men who are like, oh, okay, you want to provide, you want to take care of, go ahead, I'm going to lay up on the couch and I'm going to bless you. You know what I mean? But they're not true to who they are as a person. So there's a lot of feelings of lack of self-worth, and there's a lack of motivation, and you see that reflected in, like, the attitudes and the dispositions of the men, where they're not really striving to be more, do more, have more. They're just kind of walking around lost and lackluster, getting strung out on, you know, drugs and laying in the street, you know, doing nothing. Or, like you said, chasing more women to take advantage of in some cases.
Absolutely. Incredible points. Again, I love the perspective, and you're absolutely right. I say this quite often, you know, don't judge whether a boy is a man by his age. And there are, unfortunately, there are 40-year, 50-year-old boys still walking this earth. And unfortunately, like I said, once again, none of this stuff is said as blame. This is just an unfortunate reality of that cyclical single-parent home raising our children, raising all of our children, and that's not an indictment. It's just you being real about that situation, because I, coming from a single-parent home myself, love my mother, and she did an incredible job in helping turn me into the man that I am today, and I was fortunate. My grandfather was around. My father came heavily back in my life by the time I got to high school, so all those things play a huge and dynamic role in molding me as well. And God, you know, bless my mother. She did her thing. And for example, like you said, you know, how a lot of times the mother is taking care of you or whatever. My mother made sure I had my chores, and never was I treated like the man of the house, which is a mistake sometimes that young mothers will make with their boys, in a sense, to them as the man of the house, and they're basically getting this position without actually filling the role or being in the position to have to do anything to earn that place. And so it creates this chest stuck out mode, I'm a man, without having any concept of what being a man is, and it absolutely creates that situation, the scenario you laid out, where, as you said, they're used to this woman taking care of them, but once again not having to do much to actually, and, you know, and like you said, it creates that situation where roles are reversed. And here's the reality, the struggle that we're having specifically, I would say, in the African-American community, you know, being the race or culture that's hit the hardest with this single-parent epidemic, as I think it is, when you think about the fact that 73% of our children are born, you know, out of wedlock. And so with that said, we basically have men and women in the black community who continually cycle through those relationships, never understanding that role reversal that you spoke to, that like I say, that takes place naturally because they don't have the mother and father in the home, then that role reversal, you just keep cycling through them unless you're fortunate enough to seek out or learn the information of how to become, as we said from the beginning, that whole person that now is ready for someone else. Instead, we're just cycling through this role reversal and never getting our hands, an understanding or our heads wrapped around why we're continuing to go through this, because we're not naturally understanding our roles within a relationship. And then once again, due to this epidemic. So I love your perspective. So I definitely, you know, you will be on board when we attack this, you know, marriage before children, because I do think it is necessary. And again, this is not an attack on single parent mothers or fathers who, and there are plenty out there that are doing wonderful. But at the end of the day, if we don't bring
that
strong black families, we're going to continue to see, in a sense, our culture not rise or compete, not only in America, but on a global economy, and there's so much potential when that family unit is together to actually compete.
Right. And I want to reiterate, I am also not attacking at all in any way, shape, or form single-parent families. I mean, I'm second-generation single-parent family. I'm a single mother. I've got two teenagers, and I struggle every day with the how can I raise this boy to be a man? Because I'm not a man. I don't know what it takes to be a man. So I try to provide him with as many male influences as I can, positive male influences, obviously. And just, you know, kind of like think, you know, look outside of myself and ask, what does he need as a boy to become that provider, to become that man, to become that gentleman who's chivalrous and understanding, you know, and treats women with respect and the love that they deserve, not out there trying to take advantage or get what he can out of them, you know. So,
hey, well, hopefully, you know, I can be of help with that, but I think the Mental Dialogue community, I have a lot of incredible brothers that are very part of this community that, you know, anywhere that we can stand up or give you information, because like you said, you know, there are things that we bring to the table and vice versa. There are things you as a woman bring to the table, and we need each other. And I think our community needs to hear that more. And so definitely, hopefully, as I said, the Mental Dialogue community, as best as we can, we will definitely aid you with if information. And then, of course, we have the Mental Dialogue live experience. If you are here in Atlanta, every third Friday at back on Marley's Coffee and Tea House. They've been around for 5 years, and the Mental Dialogue live experience has moved. We've been in barbershops for a number of years, and we've moved into the Marley's Coffee and Tea House down on Decatur Street here in Atlanta. For anybody out here who hears that podcast, please reach us at meetup.com/mental-dialogue. If you're here in Atlanta, that's how you get to come to that event. But we're going to be rocking every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Executive Cuts Barbershop here in Marietta, Georgia. I got my new co-host, no longer potential co-host, Christy Gaynell. Christy, if you will, give them how they can social media, as well as don't you have a show tomorrow? So anybody who's in Atlanta, let them know how to reach you tomorrow. We come out to your show. Now, she is a stand-up comedian. She was very serious for these 30 minutes, but hopefully we'll get some of that comedian out of her as well. In the future on the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. So, Christy, real quick, we got about a minute left. Give them how to touch you on social media as well as how to catch you tomorrow. We're going to go out with our theme song, which is Work by Gangsta, because we're going to put in work on the Mental Dialogue Live Talk Show. Go ahead, Christy. Tell them how to reach you and how to see you tomorrow.
You can just Google Christy Gaynell. It's Christ Y, C-H-R-I-S-T-Y, Gaynell, G-A-Y-N-E-L-L, and you'll find all my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You'll find the book information. You can get it on Amazon. All of my information is at Christy Gaynell. My website is askgaynell, askgaynell.com.
All right, beautiful. All right, we out, people. We'll see y'all Saturday morning at 10 a.m. How are black men viewed in America is the discussion on Saturday morning. Rock with us.
Are you working? What kind of work are you doing?
Hey, yo, I'm gonna be a sitter. That's all my eyes can see. Victory is mine, yeah, surprisingly. I've been laying, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Now I'ma start collecting props, connecting plots, networking like a conference.
cause the nonsense is yet to stop. Shake, shake me down, haters wanna take me down, break me down, clap, all they heard was the sound. Yo, I soaked it out, I took your weak dream and choked it out. You don't really got no she just poked it out on the D-Lo. I'm saying you versus me, yo. We can do this right here in front of your people. See, time is money, kid, and BS walk. And to me, it's funny, kid, when you meet heads talk. I see feds talk. They want to dig up the dirt, son. Is it me they hawk? Because I be putting in work, son. Gonna be on tit off. That's all my eyes can see. Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work, and why am I status S?